Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantanilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And last Sunday in Prashantanilayam, in the Sai Kulwant Hall, January 19th, 2014, we had a moving celebration, an occasion of inspiration and introspection, of gratitude and joy. Baba's Super Speciality Hospital in Bangalore, the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, paid her homage to her divine creator, to her divine mother, on her 13th birthday. Yes, this temple of healing is 13 years old now. Way back in 2001, Bhagwan had gifted this to the world, and that ceremony had happened in the presence of the then Prime Minister of India, Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee. I was fortunate to be present on that occasion. I remember the revered Prime Minister on that occasion saying, "This is no hospital or high medical center. This is a magnificent palace come temple." And he went on to add, "Yahan to dawa milta hai, dua bhi milta hai," which means here you get medicines, you also get grace. And when Bhagwan rose to speak on that momentous day, Swami said, I quote, "While this building is imposing from outside, it will also confer inner bliss." Swami had mentioned this. And then Swami went on to add, "This hospital has a divine quality that will draw the whole world to it." This hospital has a divine quality that will draw the whole world to it. And as I say this, it's so interesting that if you see the history of Radio Sai, it has its origins in the hospital. Yes, because it is Michael Noble, the great grandnephew of Alfred Noble, the man who founded the famous Nobel Prize. When Michael Noble came to Bangalore on some work in 2001, someone told him about this hospital, and he paid a visit out of curiosity, and then looking at the philosophy and looking at the way care is delivered, and he was so moved. He wanted to know who is the person behind such a magnificent institution, and that is how he came to know Bhagwan. That's what drew him to Puttaparthi. And since he was a member of the board of directors of the World Space Corporation then, he immediately arranged to offer a digital radio channel free to Bhagwan, because Michael Noble is also a philanthropist and someone who is deeply interested in world peace. And when he saw the hospital and when he listened to Bhagwan and when he read his messages, he felt, here is a master whose message is so universal and whose teachings are so simple, it can be followed by anyone. And he makes no distinctions. And that is it. Bhagwan had willed for this drama to happen, and Radio Sai came into being on his birthday in November 2001. Just imagine, in January of that year, Swami had told, "This hospital has a divine quality that will draw the whole world to it." And in just that year, a few months down the line, and you have Radio Sai functioning, and the whole world is now listening to his message through Radio Sai. So that is the connection between the hospital and Radio Sai and the whole world. Right then, the hospital had started doing amazing things beyond treating and healing patients free of cost. I remember a teacher of mine from the Vrindavan campus, Bangalore, telling me, he said, "I feel Swami set up this remarkable edifice in Bangalore city, because this is one of India's growing metros, and this is going to attract the attention of many important individuals. This hospital is going to be that bait, that instrument to bring so many people under the umbrella of Sai teachings. And that is what is happening for 13 years now. You have so many people who have been exposed to this philosophy of healthcare, to this philosophy of life, of love, of service, because of its presence there in this city which is bursting. Today the population of Bangalore is 1 crore. And going back to that inaugural discourse, Swami had also mentioned, some doctors wonder how we can treat patients free of charge. Swami said some people think like that, but Swami said, you can work wonders with purity of heart. You can work wonders with purity of heart. And then came Bhagwan's declaration, any work which is started with purity of heart is bound to succeed. Any work which is started with purity of heart is bound to succeed. And today, you see amazing demonstration of this as this hospital proudly completes 13 years of healing with love. And as I mentioned to you, the staff of this hospital made their offering of love and gratitude to Bhagwan on this occasion. And it indeed was a very, very sublime occasion. So what I'm going to do tonight is play for you a 10-minute talk delivered on this day by Dr. Prayag Kini, a consultant cardiologist from Mumbai working now in this hospital in Bangalore. And before that, some highlights of the director, Dr. Swarna Bharadwaj's speech. And after both these are done, we will listen to the second part of the conversation with Satish Chandra, an alumnus of Baba's University, who was blessed to join this hospital right from its inception, and who recently undertook this splendid adventure of cycling nearly 500 kilometers in rural Kerala and personally visiting the houses of several patients who have been treated in Baba's hospitals. So that's a very interesting adventure filled with exciting moments. So all this for tonight on Thursday Live on Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, and our last segment on Thursday Live. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:57, and today we are going to relive the 13th anniversary of Baba's Super Speciality Hospital in Bangalore. And this is what Dr. Swarna Bharadwaj, the director of this hospital, said in the beginning of their presentation.
To tell you briefly about what we've been doing over this year, I'm very, very inspired and blessed to inform you that Swami has been with us in every step all through the year. Just a small incident. On 7th June 2013, on the occasion of 5th anniversary of Swami's last physical visit to the hospital, Swami visited the hospital in his divine form and left footprints of a baby in the main dome area. The beautiful footprints start from the bottom of the stair and lead up to the carpet. The footprints seem to be imprinted onto the granite and are still seen after several months. What more do we want? What proof we want that He is with us always and always. So, with His grace, I am very happy to state that this year we have performed 1,300 cardiac surgeries out of a big sum of 16,322 cardiac surgeries done so far. 1,853 neurosurgeries this year out of a total of 18,360 so far. 3,793 cardiac catheterization procedures this year out of a big sum of 43,444 so far. 78,000 OPD consultations out of 9,38,900 people that have been blessed by Swami through our services. Imagine the commercial value of the services rendered to the society by this hospital. Can anybody make a guess? It runs into 1,235 crores.
So that is how our talk began, listing out the impressive statistics. And then she went on to talk about some of the remarkable achievements of many of the staff members of this hospital. For example, Dr. Prayag Kini, who is a fellow interventional cardiology, he presented 9 papers at the National Interventional Council 2013, held in Kolkata. And one of these nine papers, entitled Innovation in Distress, this one won the best case-based presentation at the national level. And as part of the award, he has now been offered a 3-month training program at Mount Sinai School of Medicine in Newark in the coming year. Similarly, Dr. Rita Vairiani, who is a consultant cardiologist, she presented 3 papers at the National Interventional Council 2013, and one paper of hers, which is Transcatheter VSD Closure, a Single Center Experience at Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Bangalore. This paper won the second prize in this presentation category, and as an award, she attended the Interventional C3 Summit at Rosen Shingle Creek, Orlando, USA between 17th and 21st June. All this because of their excellent presentations at the National Interventional Council Conference. And then you had Dr. P.K. Das, who is the senior consultant and the head of the Department of Cardiology, who presented 2 posters at the Society for Cardiovascular Angiography and Interventions in Orlando, USA. Now, if this is from the cardiac doctors, now coming to neurosciences, Dr. Sumit Thakkar won the Best Free Paper Presentation Award at Neurospine Surgeons Association of India. This was a national conference. Similarly, you had Dr. Sunil Furtado, who got enrolled into fellowship at Stanford University, USA. Dr. Ravi Dadlani got enrolled into fellowship at Macquarie University, Sydney. You had Dr. N.A. Saikiran, who is a consultant in neurosurgery. He attended a 2-month training in cerebrovascular surgery in Helsinki in Finland at the Helsinki University Central Hospital between March 1st and 30th April 2013. So you had so many doctors winning such lovely accolades for their research work. And it is not only doctors. You had one of Bhagwan's students, Ashwin Venkateshwaran, who now works as senior manager in cardiology. He got the Young Investigator Award for his paper at Eco India 2013. It's a conference of echocardiographers. And he won the second prize for International Research Award contest at the World Echo Summit in 2013. Generally, these awards are given to doctors, but this student, who is not a doctor, was given this award purely because of his research work. In fact, he was also invited to make a paper presentation at EuroEcho in Istanbul in Turkey. In fact, you can read about Ashwin's story and how he won this award and his experience of this on our website. If you read the article, The Myth About Sacrificing for the Lord, just search for this and search for Ashwin and you will find this on radiosci.org. Similarly, the Department of Radiology presented 7 educational exhibits at Radiology Society of North America 2013 at Chicago. And Dr. Prakash and Dr. Zarina of Radiology got certificates of merit for their educational exhibits at this prestigious conference, international conference in USA. So like this, the hospital has produced more than 20 publications in national and international journals in this last 1 year. And last Thursday, I'm just reminded that during this hour, outside, inside, deep inside, you know, I played for you the reflections of Dr. Valeti Chaudhary, who is the chairman of cardiac sciences of both these hospitals, and he mentioned how Bhagwan so significantly named this institution as Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences and not Sri Sathya Sai Super Speciality Hospital. Because he says now it is so clear, Bhagwan wanted this institution to be higher medical sciences. He wanted sophisticated care for most needy, yes, but he also wanted advanced research. And that is what is going on, because only with advanced learning and advanced research can you provide better solutions and better innovations in healthcare. And you see that happening. You see the hospital, it's a fertile ground for excellent research. And in fact, today, you have so many research projects where the university and the hospital are coming together. You have the best brains from M.Tech and M.Sc. and M.Sc. Biotech. They are coming together with the doctors and with the technical officers in the hospital and trying to find out solutions for all those tricky problems in healthcare. So Dr. Swarna Bharadwaj, in her address, talked about all this, and then she elaborated a little more on the academic programs going on in the hospital.
Ask Swami to bless us on this day to keep on our endeavors. My youngsters, you are the hope of this institution. All the DNB students who took the DNB exam, and I know for sure because I've been associated with the National Board for a long time, have had 100% result this year, which is unheard of in the history of any institution accredited by National Board. So, Swami has blessed us, and my teachers have done remarkably well in training them. The other 6 students who are in the 6 year course have also passed their first examination successfully. The cardiology department has been doing a lot of service in training observership for students who are preparing for the National Board exam, and 20 such students have joined this program. And imagine, we have not charged them anything. Where in the world would you find such a situation that they were also blessed by Swami to have training in our institution, and they have all done very well. The nursing and paramedical students have done equally well, and the results have been excellent, and you will be seeing 2 of our bright students getting the gold medals today.
So the gold medals were given to the nursing students, and in fact, talking about the nursing students, these students, they also participated in the annual sports and cultural meet, which was held on January 11, 2014, and it was an admirable display. Generally, the girl students from the primary school and the Anandpur campus of the university participate in the annual sports and cultural meet, but this year, and in fact, for so many years now, you have the nursing students from the hospital also performing in front of Bhagwan on the annual sports meet day. In fact, they also participate in the Gram Seva. So you see, you have these academic programs which are going fantastically well along with patient care. And there have been plenty of workshops and conferences. That list is again a long list. But what is noteworthy is the nursing college and the nursing department, they held a national workshop on the theme cultivating ethical awareness, the core of caring. Cultivating ethical awareness, the core of caring. And this was a very, very unique workshop, not conducted anywhere else. And this really showed the focus of these institutions. So apart from the academic work, apart from the patient care, welfare work, you know, there are so many other little developments that have happened in the hospital. You have this rainwater harvesting, you have energy efficient lights, LED lights using solar energy. There are plenty of other things, little things that are happening just to save money, cut costs, and make the life of the patients in the hospital a little better than what it was yesterday, what it was a month ago or a year ago. In fact, it will be a long list if I talk about the new equipments that are installed in the hospital, from biplane cath lab in cardiology to neuro navigation system for neurosurgery to new radiology machines, CT, MRI and so on. In fact, the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust sanctioned 28 crores for capital expenditure, and the hospital has made best use of this in upgrading their equipments wherever it was necessary, be it in the lab, be it in the radiology, be it in the operation theatre. And Dr. Swarna Bharadwaj that day mentioned about all this, and then with these words she concluded her beautiful presentation.
I would like to conclude, keep up boys and girls, keep up men and women, so that we march forward in the health mission of Swami, serving the poorest of the poor with the same love and dedication which we've been sharing with them. Help us Swami, bless us Swami. Om Sai Ram.
So after her talk, as I mentioned before, there was a very inspiring presentation by Dr. Prayag Kini. Dr. Prayag did his graduation and post-graduation in medicine in Mumbai. And in 2009, he joined Bhagwan's Hospital in Bangalore to pursue his DNB program, his post-graduation program in. And later, after he qualified and passed in this DNB exam, he continued his fellowship in interventional cardiology, and today he is a consultant cardiologist. And as I mentioned to you before, he has made prestigious presentations and won awards, and now he's been invited for a 3-month training program at Mount Sinai School of Medicine in Newark. He spoke for 10 minutes, but everyone was glued to what he said, because what he said was straight from his heart.
My dear Swami, as we all return to Prashanthi Nilayam today to celebrate the 13th birthday of your youngest child from Bangalore, I place our loving pranams at your divine feet on behalf of each and one of the throbbing hearts that sit in front of you. I speak on behalf of everyone here, and as Ashwin said, everyone back home who could not make here today because they are tending to sick patients. I speak on behalf of your Bangalore Hospital, Swami. I speak on behalf of our Bangalore Hospital, Swami. It is indeed a day for all of us to rejoice that your 13-year-old daughter is entering her teens. Teenage, with all its ebullience, excitement, enthralling, effervescence, so many dreams. But Swami, each of us here knows deep in our hearts that in a hospital where there is no concept of cash counters or billing desks, there is one balance sheet we will all present, which we all are accountable to. And that balance sheet is about how much we promised you standing here last year and how much we actually achieved, how much we dreamt of and how much we delivered. It is that balance sheet, Swami, that we will all be ever accountable to unto eternity. It will be a day of reminiscence for all of us, Swami, about President Kalam's words about the anti-ballistic missile, health, water and education. We are all an integral part of it, Swami. We will fail in our duties if we don't stand here and ask today, has that anti-ballistic missile delivered? Swami's missiles never fail and will never fail. As much as we pride upon the fact that we are the chosen ones, that's what many people believe outside of the hospital, so these are the chosen doctors, we realize that this Herculean responsibility comes at no lesser price. Let me give you an example. I was traveling by a BMTC bus in Bangalore and I just held up my hand and said, my ticket to super hospital. That's what they call a hospital, super hospital in Bangalore. The conductor, almost in reverence, immediately said, oh, super doctor from super hospital. I felt like Rajnikanth. It is that image of us which obviously stems from the fact that we belong to you, Swami, and due to your infinite mercy that we strive to uphold, and we promise we'll do that in all the coming years. We promise, Swami, that at each minute of our lives we are committed to your mission that has its core principles in the fact that good health and happiness should be there for humankind just for the asking. We know, Swami, that you have always taught us that good health is not a destination. It is a journey which is as challenging for me as a physician as much for my patient. But we are ready to take up that challenge, Swami. You taught us that disease does not differentiate between the wise and the foolish, the rich and the will begone. Then why should medicine? Then why should medical services differentiate? You have taught us, Swami, that we should shield our patients when they are the most defenseless, when their bodies are talking to them a lot. And seeing them in that position puts us in a very particular position of extreme responsibility and privilege, that we have to shield them when they are at their mental, physical and spiritual nadir in lives. This has nothing to do with high-tech stents and satellite telemedicine and me winning a fellowship at Mount Sinai. No. But this has everything to do with the basic framework of humankind that cries for our support, all of us. Not as physicians, not as technicians, not as anesthetists, cardiologists, radiologists, but simply as men of sensibility, simply as men of conscience, that there is a human being that we are treating. You taught us that we should listen to the voice of the patient, not the voice of his lab reports, not the voice of the disease. I come from Mumbai, Swami, the city of dreams. We can only dream there about a hospital such as yours, such as ours here. I don't have to think how much money I'm going to spend if I order an MRI, if I order a chest X-ray, if I order a DSA. It is just there for the asking, simply because you want to give the best to your patients, to our patients, Swami. It is sometimes quite interesting, sometimes amusing, when we have these overseas consultants who are coming down for electrophysiology camps, device camps. They go about the hospital in amazement, not about the dome area, not about the edifice, not about the well-pruned gardens. No cash counter. ICD is free, stent grafts free, CABG free. Free? There is no such concept outside. But you give more than that. You give love for free. You give humanity for free. And you give compassion for free, Swami. But at the end of it all, as I speak about these devices which come to our hospital and the IVRs, FFR, OCTs, neurosurgery, all that we do, you taught us something more, Swami. Something quite paradoxical to this. The fact that medicine does not lie in high-tech support systems. That is medicine if there is infinite joy and tears of joy, infinite happiness in a mother who is clinging on to her recuperating child in a cardiac OT recovery room, crying out of joy that her child is as normal as any other who is next door. That is medicine if a 30-year-old laborer from the heart of Bihar, where there are no medical facilities, gets a new valve and goes back. Why? Because he has to support his ailing mother. He has to support a poor family which depends on him. Medicine is about that confidence that a 35-year-old lady who has a bleeding aneurysm in the brain has, knowing fully well that she will get cured at your feet and she can go back to her kitchen, even if she does not like to cook those delicacies for her husband and children. Medicine fails if it does not instill that happiness, that joy, that confidence. This is something that I learned coming in your hospital, Swami. Inasmuch as I speak, inasmuch as we all think here that, as I said, we are the chosen ones, we all humbly know, Swami, that we are all here for our salvation. That healing is not being just done through us in our hospital, Swami. The hospital here, the hospital in Whitefield, any number of them. Healing is being done unto us, Swami. We need it more than our patients do. Inasmuch as I say this, let me just conclude with a small incident that happened yesterday. This is about a 58-year-old patient who came for a follow-up visit where I consulted him in the cardiac OPD yesterday. This is a person from Uttar Pradesh, Haji Abdul Sattar. He underwent a cardiac surgery, a cardiac bypass surgery, where we put in a new vessel in his heart to treat a heart attack. And they also put in a new valve. It's a complex surgery. This happened 3 months back. He came for a follow-up visit. As what happens in my hospital, he has to undergo an echo and then he has to see me. By the time he was sitting in front of me, the man was in tears. Not from the pain of his incision. I wanted to lift his spirits and all I said is, Haji sahab, kya ho gaya? Sab acha hai, sab khairiyat. He just spoke one sentence, which made my day. He said, मैं 5 बार हज गया हूं मेरा अल्लाह मैंने बेंगलोर में पाया जय सायराम
Isn't that moving? मैं 5 बार हज गया हूं मेरा अल्लाह मैंने बेंगलोर में पाया विच मीन्स आई हैव मेड द हज पिलग्रिमेज 5 times बट फाइनली आई फाउंड माई अल्लाह इन द हॉस्पिटल इन बेंगलोर. This is what the 58-year-old man said, hailing from Uttar Pradesh. where love is served in its purest form, there the presence of God is felt. And that is what is the experience of so many who step into the portals of Baba's hospital. So that was the talk by Dr. Prayakini, and that day you had also another talk by Mrs. Preeta Selvakumar, who is a lecturer at the College of Nursing. You also had a Burakatha, which is a folk art form of dance and songs. Generally, this is an art form where three participants, one of them a prominent singer, other a commentator, narrator, and the third person, someone who adds comedy to the whole performance. The Burakatha artists generally perform episodes from the Indian scriptures, from the Ramayana, Mahabharata, and so on. But on that day, you had a Burakatha on Bhagwan's hospital. Yes, there were three people, and they are not professionals. They are just people who are working in the hospital, working in the maintenance department of the hospital. Three individuals who performed this Burakatha to everyone's delight. You can watch this on our website, radiosai.org, the entire proceedings of this occasion is available for you to see. And when you watch the video, you will watch another fantastic video, because after all these presentations, there was a video show about the hospital, and it was entitled Asatoma Satkamaya, From Darkness to Light. And that is the story, touching story of Shreya, a young girl from Siliguri, from West Bengal. She had a hole in the heart, and what she experienced in Bhagwan's hospital, it was so beautifully portrayed in this 19-minute film. And what I must mention here is, in the end of this video, you see that Shreyas, that is the girl who is healed, who was operated upon, she and her mother, they are walking out of the dome area, the central area of the hospital. They are grateful to Swami for everything. And just as they are about to step out, a nurse arrives, and as a parting gift of love, she hands over to Shreyas a heart-shaped red balloon. Yeah, it's in the shape of a heart, a red balloon. And Shreyas accepts this balloon with a smile, and she's so thrilled. But what she does next is really amazing. Actually, the people who are planning this film, they had planned to freeze the frame once the girl accepts that love, you know, that heart-shaped love, and she smiles, and that's a very perfect picture, and that is where the frame freezes, and that's where they wanted to end the video on Shreyas, on this 19-minute special video on hospital. But what happened that day is, as Shreyas was given this balloon, something occurred to her, and Shreyas started walking to the ward holding that red balloon, that red heart in her hand. And what did she do? She went straight into the ward, and she saw a tiny one on his father's arms. Probably the little one is supposed to get operated in a day or two. Shreyas spontaneously and so sweetly, she handed over this love balloon, this heart-shaped balloon, to this little one spontaneously. And the little child was so overjoyed. Immediately, he started playing with this gift of love, and the father was in all smiles. And all this was not planned. This just happened. Shreyas did it spontaneously. And fortunately, the cameraman was actually following Shreyas as she walked into the ward holding the balloon in her hand. And this is the most moving scene in this film, and you must watch it. And the movie ends with the words, "You have been touched. Pass it on." I personally feel the way this film unfolded, it just showed how much Bhagwan is with us. They say, When there is a genuine desire to do something for the Lord, the Divine never fails to leave His signature on it. And that is what we saw happened. So please do not miss watching this video on Radio Sai website, Asatoma Sadgamaya. And as we are talking about Bhagwan's hospital in Bangalore, last time I played for you the first part of the conversation with B. Satish Chandra, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, now working in his hospital. In fact, he has been there in the hospital for the last 13 years since the inception of the hospital. And interestingly, he is someone who is so enthusiastic about Bhagwan's hospital and Bhagwan's mission, and also someone who is so passionate about cycling, and he wanted to bring both of them together, his passion of cycling and his devotion for Bhagwan and his love for this institution, Bhagwan's hospital. All these things he wanted to put together, and out came this beautiful adventure of cycling nearly 500 kilometers and going to the houses of patients in Kerala. So the last part, last week I played for you the first part of this conversation where he talked about how this idea came up and how he started his journey, how he was flagged off by the director, and he was on 22nd of November 2013, he was in Kasaragod, which is the northernmost district of Kerala, and then from there how he met patients and how he went to next districts of Kannur, then he went to the districts of Malappuram, and how everywhere he met so many patients, so many devotees, and how thrilling, moving and exciting it was, because he is someone who always was in the purchase department and looking always into the files and purchase orders, and for him to actually interact with patients was a desire he wished and he pined for, and that gave him so much fulfillment. So you heard his experiences of the first part of the journey last week, and now let's hear the second part. Now he moves on his bike, on his cycle, to the central and the southern districts of Kerala. Let's listen to Satish Chandra and his beautiful odyssey with the cycle to the houses of patients in Kerala.
Okay, so now you're done with North Kerala.
Yeah, and then slowly inching towards the central part of Kerala. In Palghat, I was at this place, Shornur. I must tell you about this particular incident. Between Perinthalmanna and Shornur, there was one particular village, I forget the name, but there was one patient. He was waiting for me on the road.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and this patient, he underwent a bypass surgery in the Puttaparthi hospital. And he has turned into a staunch devotee now. And he had, on this occasion, to celebrate both the birthday and this event happening, he wanted to conduct house bhajans.
Mm-hmm.
First time. And he was waiting for me on the road take me home. So again, I got kidnapped. It was almost 10-15 kilometers interior from the highway. So I had to park my bike somewhere, and then went by car to his house, and there they chanted the stotram and they did a few bhajans, and then so it was almost like 7 or 8 in the evening.
So it must have been a very, very, very moving feeling, right?
Yeah, to see how Swami, if you talk about him as a human being, it's very difficult to imagine that one person could have entered into the lives of so many millions of people. I was getting a taste of that when I was traveling around Kerala. So after this, then I'd gone to Shornur. That's the hometown in a way of Dr. Anand Mohan, who is the state coordinator for the Sai Rehab program. And he's the single main pillar, in a way, around which the whole Sai Rehab program happens. And he has his own team of volunteers who are actively supporting him in making this whole program work in Kerala. So the next day, what happened was, I actually did the district of Thrissur.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the next district. Because Dr. Anand Mohan, he had personal engagement. So, and Thrissur were further down. But I did that on the next day. So 25th, I was in Thrissur.
Mm-hmm.
in the Thrissur Samiti, they had organized this get-together, this Hriday Sangamam of all the patients. And here also I could see there were Muslims, you could see Christians, you could see Hindus. Everywhere you saw people from all religions participating actively in the program. And I also met Dr. Mohanan and also one sister Tulsi. They have medical camp every week. So every Thursday or Tuesday between 9 and 11:30, he devotes time to seeing patients in the Thrissur Samiti itself. And there is a qualified nurse who assists him in doing this. These are small things that people are able to make time for, to be able to make a difference in the lives of these patients who've been treated in Swami's hospital. So Thrissur, by evening again I was back in Shornur, and on that day I also visited this Potter's Colony, which is very close to Shornur. This is a whole new world by itself. Just to make it short, I want to mention that about this Potter's Colony, that this colony had been adopted by the Sathya Sai Seva organization as part of the Sri Sathya Sai Village Integration Program, SSSVIP. This colony has about, I think, 70 families living there. And they were all, I believe, these potters were originally from Andhra Pradesh, settled there. And I was very excited because last 3-4 days I've been in Kerala, you know, I couldn't connect with anybody with my own. But I thought this is an opportunity for me to interact with them in Telugu. But then it was proved out to be such a disappointment because actually their Telugu, it sounds more like Malayalam to me. So I couldn't really get much from them. But the interesting part was, again, the love they had for Swami. And it seems Dr. Anand Mohan was mentioning to me that there was so much in the 80s, back in the 80s, it seems the whole place was completely different. Like there was alcoholism was rampant and these guys were drinking illicit liquor and making and all that stuff. So now this time, Dr. Anand Mohan was mentioning that on 23rd November, Swami's birthday, these people had put up a program and invited people from the Sathya Sai organization to come witness that program.
Wow.
And this was a program of music and dance. And children are now trained in Balvikas. They were singing bhajans and they had performed. It was a very special moment for me. They had performed the bhajan which they had danced to for me that evening.
Oh, because okay.
Minus the costumes and all that. But it was very nice to see how little children with the Balvikas training could perform these things in such a short time. And what it does to the society, to that particular colony, is something quite amazing. I mean, see, from where alcohol was flowing and now this complete transformed thing is all thanks to the commitment of the volunteers like Dr. Anand Mohan and his whole team, and one Mr. Babu. Babu is a member of the youth wing there. They're all people who are given their so much of their time, and they're otherwise very busy individuals, have their own jobs and all that, but they've given so much of the time to Swami's mission and Swami's work. So the potters also were like showing me around how they make pots, and I also had this chance to interact with the person whom actually Swami spoke to during the 60th birthday. Swami had instructed him to teach pottery to God's children, by which he meant children with certain disabilities, special children basically. So Swami had told him to teach pottery to such children and also make smokeless chulhas. And this is what this person has been doing for the past 20 plus years. He was sharing with me that he still teaches in some school in Thrissur and this and that. It was very interesting to see how just a word from Swami and somebody's life, the thing is all set. It's phenomenal, the kind, and they are extremely talented. And I believe the government in Kerala, and through some, I think, influence, they got a raw deal out of that influence. There was some political mischief, whatever had happened. But now, after the SSI's VIP program had adopted their village, that's like, it's a very completely transformed colony that you see there. And it was really wonderful to see their kind of commitment and their love for Swami, and they'll do anything for Swami. That's how these porters are right now. So after this, the next day I had chance to accompany Dr. Anand Mohan to some of the patients around Sharanur. And so that included two women. One is a grandmother. She underwent an EP procedure in the hospital. So I met her, and then I also met one auto driver. And all these are like, their faces are just beaming with joy. It was very interesting to see. And then thanks to sir, I was able to communicate with them better, because he would translate what they were saying, and he would narrate their experiences, how they felt at the hospital.
You remember any of these experiences, what the patients were saying?
Yeah, one was this old lady, the grandmother. It seems she had this heart condition where she could not, I think she went to a local, the doctors, they said that procedure would cost some 5 lakhs or something. And then how she had come to Dr. Mohan, he referred to Whitefield, and how she got treated. What stuck with me was, she said, just the fact that now everything is all right with me has given me so much confidence. And now she goes about her daily duties, and she takes care of her grandchildren. See, these may not be, from a very economic standpoint, they don't seem to be great things. But then, see, it made such a big difference to that grandchild when she could have her grandmother be with her.
Yes.
Completely. And these were little things, but I felt this is something which kind of...
There's so many dimensions to what happens to a patient.
That's right.
And the way, the repercussions of adding 10 more lives, adding 20 more happy years to a patient.
True.
And that happening in our hospitals, in Sai hospitals.
Correct.
As you are saying, there are so many ways society benefits.
And this was an opportunity for me to like peek into each of those houses and see their current, whatever circumstances they're in. And the other lovely thing about this trip was that everywhere I went, every house I visited, Swami had already entered their house, so to say. He's part of their altar, he's part of their shrine. Somebody was saying, when I initially started out, I called this a bike tour. Then they said, no, this is not a tour, this is a pilgrimage. And when I visited many of these houses, that what I came to realize that, yes, this is a pilgrimage, because everywhere I see Swami's picture.
You're just
altar.
Going from one altar to another altar.
Exactly.
I think everywhere people saw you, patients saw you, they would take them to their altar. If a devotee saw you, they would take them to their altar.
Correct. And Swami was there always. So this was in Sharanur. And so 27th morning I had done these house visits. And 26th afternoon, I rode from Sharanur to Thrissur.
Okay.
So, and Thrissur, since I had already, the program was done, so it was just like a halt. And then on 27th morning, I rode from Thrissur to Alua. That is about 70-80 kilometers. So that was one of the longest independent cycling-only kind of things. And during that time, I had one very interesting experience.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I was cycling, this is a flat stretch of road and a highway. And so this is like perfect cycling. I could, as perfect as it could get. And
to do cycling.
Yeah, for cycling. And then I was thinking, this thought entered into my head, maybe about 40 kilometers into the trip, saying maybe I wouldn't have any issues, you know, any mechanical issues or flats during this trip. I was visualizing that, and I was actually visualizing myself talking at the hospital, sharing with people, you know, this time when I went and all this 400, 500 kilometers, I didn't have a single flat tire. I was wanting to announce that. You know? I was like literally watching myself do that. And then I think within 10 seconds, of me thinking that thought, my back tire blew.
Oh my God.
So I had a flat on the highway and it took me about 10-15 minutes to get that thing done. And this was a thought which I knew I was carrying a spare tube and I had removed the wheel and then I removed the tube and then I put in a fresh tube and I was pumping it up and I was about to seal the tire when something in my head told me, check what caused the puncture. Normally I would do that. I mean, it's a standard practice to check what caused the puncture, but then in this case, the patients were waiting on the other side and I was in a hurry. So I said, very reluctantly, I kind of again undid what I did and then felt with my hand within the tire. And then I came across this nail. It was almost an inch and a half long nail, which had just pierced through the tire. And it had actually punctured twice the same nail. And if I had not listened to that voice in my head, I would have had a puncture within another next 5 minutes or so. And that would have, I wouldn't have had a spare tube, so it would have really delayed my trip. So I think it was interesting experience because on one side I was imagining something and then, then it kind of collapsed, and then but God's grace in that, putting that voice in the head to help me connect that.
I think by this day you had already done 250-300 kilometers.
Closer to 200.
200.
Yeah.
And you felt, till now it's all fine.
Correct. Correct. And so I was imagining that this would be perfect all the way through, but then this happened.
Yes.
Then I reached Alua, and Mukundan sir, that is his place where he stays and where he also has a school, Satya Sai Vihar. And I had actually gone to the school, had breakfast with me, with him. And then he took me to the samiti where I had this chance to meet more patients. And here I remember two patients, one Muslim, one Suleiman, who underwent angioplasty. I think it was at the Whitefield Hospital. And also one Christian lady who was, so moved by her experience of being treated at the Swami's hospital. She even almost declared that Swami is my Christ kind of thing. And she was very moved by the experience. And so after this, Mukundan sir then took me to some of the patients' houses. So that happened. And next day from there, I rode till Kottayam district via some other places, little small towns. And there's so many patients whom we have seen. So you really get to see the different flavors of Kerala. Right at the top, during Malappuram, you notice that there are so many Muslims. And then along the way, you see many churches. And somewhere, I also passed, I think it was in Calicut district, the place where Vasco da Gama had first landed. Mm-hmm. When it set foot on the Indian coast. So all these things happened. And on 28th, I was in Kottayam. And that 28th, it was almost 10 o'clock that I reached Kottayam. And the next day morning, from Kottayam to Ochira, a place called Ochira, and to Changanur. Changanur happens to be the, I think it's like the place where the Shabarimala devotees, they come, get off there, and from there they go by road to Shabarimala. So that's the last train station to that place. So here again, from Changanur, I actually visited. That was, I think, interesting place because the variety of patients I saw there were quite amazing. So I met one retired headmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Who was treated in the hospital. It was almost 10 years that he was treated at the Whitefield Super. And then I met a goldsmith.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met this housewife who does these parayanams.
Okay.
She does these Bhagavata parayanam in the temples.
She gives discourses on scriptures.
Yeah. She reads out. She recites in the local temples. So all of them, whatever was there, the goldsmith, actually I captured him, doing his work, the goldsmithy work at home. And then this lady also, she recited a few pages from the Bhagavatam in chaste Malayalam. So it was interesting to see, I mean, people who had come to your hospital as a patient, who have gone back and doing whatever they were doing, you know, whatever their life is about. So they're practicing that. You know, so that was very...
It's so wonderful for you, because you are mentioning that, you know, you are all the time sort of tucked away in the basement of the hospital in the purchase department. And now you actually not only see the patients in their blue dress in the hospital, but you actually see them doing their stuff. And it is such a variety of patients. You have a goldsmith, you have someone who is giving spiritual discourses, and you have an auto rickshaw driver and all sorts of patients. I think it must have been really a very, very fulfilling moment for you.
It was. And I think I was like, my cup was overflowing already actually from day one. It was good. And, you know, all along, wherever these, it was the volunteers who were taking me to those houses. So even interacting with the volunteers and what they are doing in their life, it's amazing to see their commitment. I think that was, they were ready to do anything for Swami's hospital. You just had to ask them, saying this is for this, and then they would drop everything and then, you know, attend to that work. So that's the kind of commitment I've really seen in Kerala. And it all, right from top to bottom, Mukundan sir too, right on the field, all the workers are all like so charged up. That was something I brought back with myself.
And when you saw all this spectrum of patients, did you find anything common in all of them?
Yeah, the common thing which I could perceive as the undercurrent in all these patients was their love for Swami and their gratitude. I think the gratitude was what was most prominent in all these patients. And everybody was so happy to go back to doing what they were doing, go back to serving in their own families, whatever. But that gratitude was what I felt was the undercurrent in all these patients. They were just thrilled also to meet someone who's come from the hospital and interact with them. So that was amazing.
Even though you could not really speak to them in Malayalam, but as you mentioned, it just showed in that expression.
It just showed, yeah. And I remember one lady in Perinthalmanna, she must be in her 50s or 60s. She just came on to me and, you know, held my hands and was narrating some experience which I couldn't just understand. But she was like so fully expressed, and she was like looking at Swami's picture by the side, and she was, you know, bowing to him. That is something you have to really see it to believe it. But a good thing was that I was able to record her expressions, and that's something I'd love for all of you to see.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So even though you didn't understand, but you could completely get the vibe of what she was.
Exactly. Yes.
Fantastic. So that is on Thrissur, 27th.
Yeah. From there, I had gone to Kottayam.
Yes.
And Kottayam to Changanur. And
yes,
then on 30th November, I'm kind of reaching the end of my trip. So there I had done Kollam. So that's where I reached Kollam. And from Kollam, I rode on 1st December to Trivandrum.
Okay.
So Trivandrum was the last district capital of Kerala. So that's about 80 odd kilometers. And here I remember one incident in Kottayam.
Yeah.
The previous day on 28th, I rode from Aluwar to Kottayam.
Okay.
And that day it had rained. It had drizzled. It didn't rain actually. It drizzled, and my bike was completely, it was very messy. And I reached Kottayam at 10 o'clock at night, and I knew the bike was like looking pretty odd, and next day I had to immediately ride. I thought maybe next day morning I will clean it, but then I was so tired. I mean, all these days of so much of travel, and I was very tired, but never felt sick or anything. So I said, I'll leave the bike as it is. And
maybe look after it in the morning.
And next day morning, when I woke up, got ready and came out, I saw this man who was cleaning my bike. I mean, like put a hose, you know, with water and a pipe. He was like cleaning it thoroughly, and then afterwards he bought a cloth to wipe it all clean. He happens to be the editor of the Malayalam Sanatan Sarthi.
Oh my God.
So, he is essentially a journalist, and I was staying at his place, and this is what he was doing. I mean, I was like completely blown away by this person who was like, didn't have to do it, and I was like least expecting.
You're perhaps getting ready to go and clean your bike, and here is someone.
Correct,
I mean,
who's already
he's such a senior person, and there is no reason for him to do it.
True.
There is no need for him to do it.
And in that too, I mean, I could only sense his love for Swami, which is, you know, showing up through this. That was something which really moved me. So, like this, I had met with so many people from the Sai organization who wouldn't stop at anything.
I think that is another common thing, as I notice in this narration. You know, you have met really wonderful Sai devotees, really amazing Sai workers. We have met grateful patients.
Right.
That is one spectrum. But what you have also seen is these devotees of Bhagwan who are so committed to his mission, who have spared so much of their time and energy with utmost humility to
right.
do his work. I mean, true. Perhaps it humbles you, isn't it?
Absolutely. It humbled me then and there at that very moment to be with someone like that. And that's something I brought back with myself. And then at Trivandrum also, I had gone to met a few patients. One of them was this little girl who's, I think she must be in her 8th standard. So she had this ASD closure, okay. atrial septal defect. They used a certain implant to okay. close that defect.
Hole in the heart, yeah.
Yeah. And because since this was done as the cardiology procedure in the cath lab, so there was no open heart surgery done. So being a girl, it was I think that's how they chose it. And her father was a coolie.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and there was no way that they could have afforded the, you know, such a treatment.
Daily wage laborer.
A daily wage laborer. So it was very interesting perspectives you get to see life from after this trip.
It is one thing to meet that person in the hospital and know that he is a daily wage laborer. And it is a very different experience to actually be in Kerala and see him doing his coolie work.
Correct.
And to see his hut and see his little girl.
Mm. And yeah, that's very true. I think even for the doctors at the hospital, because the numbers they see are so large, for them the patient kind of generally tends to become one a number in a file. This is something I would recommend to any doctor,
yes.
just to be able to see the patient whom they have treated go back to his work. Because ultimately all that years of training which the doctor has gotten, this is kind of the fulfillment of
yes.
that training. So my cycling trip through Kerala ended, and from Trivandrum I cycled on to Kanyakumari.
Okay.
Because this was only cycling. This is my personal agenda now.
Yes.
So I had
no more patients seeing and
no more patients. And this, I think, allowed me also to just catch up on, or rather take a break from this, and, you know, gave me time to mull over what I had been through in the last 10 days or so. So that was about 100 kilometers from Trivandrum to Kanyakumari. And that's also literally, that's where the road ended.
Yes.
So I couldn't go any further. So from there, I took a train.
How was that stretch? Doing that 6-7 hours, yeah. probably it would have taken you to do that 100 kilometers. Because I want to ask you on two angles. One is, how was this trip? Because this time you didn't have perhaps no escorts, and there was no other sort of attachments to you, no other engagements. You were just left all alone cycling. And as you mentioned, just thinking over all that you've experienced. And secondly, what is the experience of Kerala also that you got?
Right.
As a state, we know it is a very beautiful state, rich with so much of flora. But what was your direct first-hand experience of this state? Of the state, of its people, of just that environment? Yeah, that's the second question.
Right. So the first question about how it was doing that stretch, it was very different. See, for one thing, the roads in Kerala are really good during the time I was there. And I could make out the difference when I started into Tamil Nadu. The roads were bad.
Okay.
And here, of course, like I mentioned, you know, the escorts being there, not being there, I suddenly realized that made a big difference. And also the cause. I had done the Kerala trip with the intention of meeting patients, and after I stepped out, entered Tamil Nadu, there were no more patients. So suddenly I did sense a drop in my own energy levels, because, okay, I'm reaching Kanyakumari, but then it's just to catch a train tomorrow back to Bangalore. So I think that was how I felt. I took the same 6 or 7 hours, but then I was...
There was something missing.
Yeah. Let's say I was like stopping over at every hotel to have something just to kill time. But yeah, there were some very good stretches along that way to at least closer to Nagarkoil. And it was a different experience. It was definitely not the same as cycling to actually meet patient. That energy was slightly on the lower side. Of course, it could be explained by also that I've been on the road for 10 days now.
Of course, I think when you're meeting so many devotees and meeting patients, your energy levels definitely will be on a high. You know? Your spirit is definitely on a high. You know?
Right. And about the second part, what was my impression about Kerala? What I felt, I think, you know, explain in a single word, but overall, I was left with the experience so much of beauty, along with so much of commitment of the people and gratitude. Maybe I think they were the three words which I can use to convey all that I felt through Kerala. The beauty of the land.
Devotion for God.
Devotion for God and the commitment of the people and the gratitude of the patients. I think these were the three things to convey all that I have experienced in Kerala.
Wonderful. Were there any moments which were very challenging, you know, moments when you thought, oh my God, I never thought it would be this difficult, or I never thought I would be pushed into this corner. Were there any moments like that?
I think when I was entering the Malappuram district was one such time. See, normally when you're doing a trip like this, you wouldn't like to do much of cycling at night. But on that particular day, it was Swami's birthday, that doing that 60 kilometers between 5:30, it was already beginning to get dark. Doing that stretch, that was really a challenge for me, because I wasn't sure of myself whether I'd be able to do 60 kilometers that late evening. So that was literally a leap of faith, because like I told you, I was up at 3:30 in the morning, and then I wasn't sure. I didn't want to collapse on the road somewhere. So that was one challenge. And on the same day also, because like I mentioned, the terrain was pretty undulating. So I was in some places, I was on the lowest gear and was doing like 3 or 4 kilometers an hour type of thing. So, and there's so much humidity, right? In Bangalore, it's very comfortable. But then in Kerala, you're like literally sweating it out. Really bad. But what I really, I think this is all again Swami's grace, I didn't even as much as sneeze during these entire 10 or 12 days.
Wow.
I was in like my peak fitness, peak health. I didn't have any issues on that front. So all the challenges, I was up to them. The challenges which were in my way of doing this bike journey.
Fantastic. And you are someone, of course, who is not new to bike tours, but this was a very different bike tour, which was attached with a really healing mission to it, the healthcare mission to it. So, what are your gains from this trip, Satish Chandra? What are the new perspectives about life that emerged for you and about this passion?
I think doing what one loves, I think that is what really keeps us going. And
follow your heart.
Follow your heart. And to me, now, there was no way. Maybe if you had asked me this question about how you could follow your passion for cycling with what you're doing in the hospital, I might not have come up with how I could merge both those passions. I love working at the hospital and I love cycling. And this is a thought which kind of put both of them together. So the new perspectives were, one is that in a hospital, I now don't believe that there is anything called indirect patient care. I believe that everything is direct patient care.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain that?
So what I mean by that is, see, I used to call myself as like completely removed from patient care, doing my own whatever purchasing and stuff. Obviously that, I mean, I know that they're all being purchased for use in a hospital, in a patient care environment. But it's very easy to forget or not see the links between the patients and the other people who are connected with the healthcare. See, normally when anywhere I go, I mean, the question I was asked was, are you a doctor? No, I said, I'm not a doctor, I'm a purchase manager. Now, how am I? Directly, it's not connected, but then I do make a big difference through the quality of the things I procure for use of the patients. And also, these are the insights which came to me when I was riding from Trivandrum to Kanyakumari. One insight I had was, imagine a patient in a hospital, in the ward, looking out at the lawns. In our hospital, if you take, for example, he sees green grass. And if that grass is well kept, imagine the peace and happiness, you know, that he would get from watching grass from his window. And who is responsible for that? The gardener. Yes. So if the gardener is doing his job and he's watering the, you know, the lawns and he's keeps it well kept.
And the grass reminds him of the greenery in Kerala.
In Kerala, yes, absolutely. He thinks about home and is recovering well. He looks forward to, you know, going back home. So now in this scenario which I described, the gardener is directly contributing to the patient care, isn't it?
Yes.
And similarly, I was thinking that if there was this, say, a water treatment plant operator, if he works in that place with the feeling that the water which I'm treating is ultimately going to touch the lips of patients and he's going to drink the water, isn't that direct patient care? But whereas normally, in normal course of events, only doctors or nurses are considered as direct patient caregivers. So, but I now tend to maintain that everybody is directly involved in patient care in a hospital. This is the main thing which I've brought back with myself.
Fantastic. I think no one in the hospital should feel that they're having any disconnect with the patients.
Absolutely.
Everyone is directly contributing.
True.
And they are actually doing it in a substantial measure.
Correct.
Wow, I think that is a very beautiful perspective, and this is something perhaps we should share with all the staff in the hospital, because perhaps there could be many who are working in departments like you are working, and probably they also will be probably feeling that, you know, I'm every day coming to the hospital and I'm not getting really to talk to patients, I'm not getting the chance to directly interact with the patients, but each person is contributing amazingly to patient care. Fantastic. So what next, Satish?
Ah, okay. I don't really know. But what one of the concrete fallouts of this program was that we would be having a workshop of all the Sai Rehab program volunteers at the hospital. Because, see, one of the intentions of the program was also to strengthen the SRP program.
Yes.
So one of the feedbacks I got from the doctors also is that it would be good if they get an opportunity to work with the doctors and the hospitals here. So we will be organizing a one-day workshop where the SRP volunteers from the states of Kerala, Andhra Pradesh, and Karnataka all, you know, assemble at one place where the doctors can freely interact with these doctors and see what we can do to help serve patients better. So that's what is on the cards. And maybe, I mean, this program can be extended to other states from where we have a lot of patients, like West Bengal and Orissa, where currently we have telemedicine, which is, you know, helping with the follow-up.
Wow. So basically strengthen the bond between the doctors and the staff of the hospital and the Sai Rehab doctors and volunteers with the patients.
Correct.
Wow. That is fantastic. So it's really nice. I know it's been a very, very memorable trip for you, because anytime anyone asks you about the trip, you are actually overjoyed to share what you have experienced. And you have so beautifully captured it also on your pictures and videos. And it's a very heartening experience when you mix a passion of yours, if one passion of yours can be really be channelized in Bhagwan's mission. So maybe, and you're someone with so many interests, so maybe we'll see some other facet of your personality again, taking a new angle towards doing something for Bhagwan's mission. So are there new ideas?
Not immediately, but I was thinking that early this year, 2013, we had the spiritual retreat. We had all gone to Badri and I had seen the Himalayas for the first time in my life. And in the same year, it happens that I am at Kanyakumari.
Okay.
The top and bottom of the countries are covered. So maybe it's time to either go to do the, you know, the cross the country from the east to west. That's something in my head right now, but let's see how.
Fantastic. So next coming up is east to west. All the best, Satish Chandra. And I know whenever you take up something so wonderful, because the intentions are so selfless and so genuine, you just like you saw here, so many people looking forward, coming forward, joining you, and so many dots connecting because everybody wanted to be part of it in some way. I think you would perhaps see a new chapter of the same phenomenon, and perhaps you will also see a cascading effect of this. You'll find so many people resonating with you and getting a feeling that, you know, yes, let me also do something. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Satish.
Thank you. And one last thing, when you asked me, one of the challenges I faced was being able to capture the patient's experiences as I was talking to them.
Yeah, because you're doing multiple things.
Yeah. So I think probably RadioSci should accompany me on the next trip.
Oh, yeah. I think you would be glad to do. But just that this time you chose Swami's birthday, and birthday is a very hectic time for. I think so many of my colleagues would be really happy to be part of the next adventure. Let's hope that Swami makes it happen.
Great.
And let's pray for that.
Great.
Thank you very much, Satish, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Prishti.
So that was the second and the final part of the conversation with Satish Chandra. And as you were listening, he was on his cycle nearly 500 kilometers touring from the north to the south of Kerala, interacting with patients. And the experience that he had, he says he wishes every doctor had, every member in the hospital had. Because it is one thing to sit in your chamber and imagine the misery of the patient, and the completely different experience to actually be there, live in his hut, go and sit with him in his shack, go and lend a helping hand to him as he's breaking stones under hot sun as a daily wage laborer. Then we would know what is true sensitivity. And to have a heart which beats for others, we have to learn to be sensitive. And what is a heart if it doesn't beat for others? That is no heart. That is only a mechanical muscle. A heart to be called a heart should beat for others. Let us pray that as so many hearts get cured physically from all these hospitals that Bhagwan has beautifully gifted us, let them be reminders for all of us that Bhagwan has built these institutions to give each one of us a new heart, to mend our hearts and to blend our hearts and to unite our hearts. And these hearts will unite when they know that they are not here to beat for themselves. They are here to provide life, energy, and enthusiasm to the other person. So with these words and with these beautiful thoughts, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Live. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for please being with us, and I really express my deep sense of gratitude to Swami for having given us this opportunity to talk about his work and his glory, and this opportunity that is conferred on me to reflect on his amazing manifestations of love. Let us spread this love. Let us be a candle. Let us be a mirror. Some way let us reflect his light. Finally, as I bid a sweet good night from you, as I quit, you will continue to listen to a drama
by the students from Kerala. It's a drama entitled Savitri, presented by the Bal Vikas Children of Kerala. This was first presented to Bhagwan in 2002. So enjoy this drama by the students of Kerala. And if you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. And please be with us on every Thursdays, and in fact every single day. Let us immerse ourselves in His message and in His love, His name and His glory. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.